My name's Caleb Yetton. I'm one of the pastors here at the Rock Church, and we're so glad that you're here with us this morning. Like that video said, we're going through the book of John. This is our third part of the book of John. We're going just small sections of verses here and there. This is our third week, and we're really excited of what God's has for us as we study the book of John. We're going to be going through this book for the next like year or more. So we're glad that you're here and joining us, and we hope you come back again and just study this book with us. The book of John is unlike any of the other gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. It's a different look at the life of Jesus than we see in the other three gospels. The whole point of the book of John is to tell how Jesus is God. The book of John was written later after the other three gospels, and so this one was written in light of those three gospels, pointing to the divinity and how Jesus is God, and that's what we want to relate. We named it Knowing Jesus. We want you to come to know Jesus. We want you to know Jesus in a more intimate way. We want you to know the God of Jesus, who he is, and what he has done for you, and how he can change your life. Mac has shared this. He took us through the first 2 weeks of John, that many times when we see people come to the Lord or want to start reading the Bible, we encourage them to read the book of John first, because it's a real personal look at the man and the God of Jesus Christ, and how those two relate, how Jesus was fully God and how he was fully man. And it's such a great book with so much truth. We could go one verse at a time, and it could take us the rest of our lives to go through the entire book, but we don't have that much time. And so we're going to, today we're going to look at John 1, 19 through 34. And today what we're going to be looking at is the life of John the Baptist and his testimony to Jesus and who Jesus was. I'm really excited for what God has for us this morning. I think he can speak to each one of us something personal, and how we can relate and apply truth to our lives and be changed and be more like Jesus. So I'm just going to pray again, and then we'll dive right into the scripture. So, Jesus Christ, we pray to you, Lord God. We love you. Thank you that you are here. Like Tony said, we love your presence. God, we just want you to come and speak to us this morning through your word, through scripture. God, make us more like you, Jesus. I pray we would know you more intimately, more closely. We would be more like you, Jesus. We love you so much. We thank you for this morning. Thank you for the people here. God, I pray that your words would go out now. God, I pray that my words would fall to the floor, Jesus, and your words would speak and would touch hearts, would change lives this morning, God. We love you. Pray this in your name. Have your way. Pray this in your name. Amen. So, John 1:19. It says, and this is the testimony of John. Now, this is the Gospel of John. It was written by one of the 12 apostles named John. But as we go through the book of John, we never see the Apostle John referred to himself as John. Anytime it says the word John, the name John, in the book of John, it's talking about John the Baptist. So this is the testimony of John the Baptist. Mac touched on John the Baptist a little bit last week, and who he was and what his mission was. This is just a picture from a movie of John, kind of what he might have looked like. We get an in-depth picture of who John is going to be in Luke chapter 1. Talks about John's parents, Zechariah and Elizabeth. They were both Levites. Zechariah was actually a priest in the tabernacle, in the temple. And an angel of God shows up and tells Zechariah, you're going to have a son, and his name's going to be John, and he's going to be a messenger for Jesus, for the Messiah. And it goes on to say that John then went into the wilderness. He lived in the wilderness. He ate honey and locust, which was a bug, and really weird. He wears animal skins. as his clothes, walks around. He's probably would be that awkward homeless dude that you want to avoid at times when, I don't know, if he came up to you, you'd just be like, wow, this dude is weird. And this is the messenger that God chose to prepare the way for Jesus. I was thinking about it. John was probably, some of you might get this, some of you might not. John was probably like the most hipster person in the world, eating raw local honey, you know, no GMOs, eating off the land and wearing animal skins, repurposing things. Most hip dude. The only thing I think he's missing is some glasses, some hipster glasses. So Robbie hooked him up with that. Thanks, Robbie. So that's John the Baptist in a nutshell. He went and lived out in the wilderness. God had a message and a life for him to prepare the way for the Messiah. As we'll see later, or as we see in Luke, Mary, the mother of Jesus, and Elizabeth, the Mary of John, were relatives. It doesn't say exactly what they were as relatives, whether they were cousins. Many believe they were cousins or second cousins. So it's possible John the Baptist and Jesus knew each other growing up. But again, some people say maybe that he wouldn't have known Jesus because he did live in the wilderness, and maybe they never crossed paths. So John, though, he gets this message from God to go out and to proclaim the way of the Lord, and knowing that the Messiah is coming. And he wants to tell people, get ready, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. The Messiah is coming. Repent. And he would baptize people in the Jordan. And so continuing on in that verse, John 1:19, and this is the testimony of John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, who are you? So John the Baptist is baptizing people in the Jordan River and throughout Israel. And the Pharisees, the Jews, the priests hear about this weird homeless dude living out in the desert baptizing people and telling them to repent and baptizing. And the Pharisees and the priests hear about this guy, and they want to find out what is going on out there. So they send out these priests and these Levites, and they ask, who are you? John, then he says, he confessed and did not deny, but confessed, I am not the Christ. And they asked him, what then, are you Elijah? He said, I am not. So the Jews knew, the people of Israel knew that the Messiah was going to come. It talks about in the Old Testament that a Messiah is going to come. The Christ is going to come. And the priests and Levites are looking for him, but also not, they're not really expecting him to be a man like John. So they're wondering, you're baptizing, you're telling people to repent away from the temple, which was not very common with especially for the priests. They felt it was their right and their need to tell people to repent and to help people grow closer to God. And there's this man out in the desert pointing people to God and saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. So they ask, you, are you the Christ? And he says, no, I'm not. And they said, then are you Elijah? And he says he's not. In Matthew, Jesus does refer to John as Elijah. But John has come in the spirit of Elijah. He's not Elijah in the flesh, but he has come with the message of Elijah. He's returned, the spirit of Elijah has returned with John to make way for the Lord. And that is John's message. So they're wondering if he's Elijah, and he says, I am not. Then he continues on and says, they ask him, are you the prophet? The prophet that they're referring to is like Moses. Moses said one would come after him, like him, who would speak for God, would deliver the people of God to the promised land, like Moses did. And so they're expecting, maybe are you the prophet, which is the exact same thing as the Christ. And John says, no, he answered no. So they said to him, who are you? We need to give an answer to those who sent us. What do you say about yourself? So these priests, these Levites, are getting a little frustrated. If you're not going to give us a straight answer, John, tell us who you are. We have to answer to somebody. You see, because the Levites, the priests, didn't like what was going on in John's ministry. They didn't like that he was taking people away from the temple and from their rituals and from their religion and pulling people away. And so they're a little frustrated at John. So they ask him, what do you have to say about yourself? We have to give an answer. This is John's answer. He said, I am the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, as the prophet Isaiah said. So this verse, John the Baptist is quoting Isaiah 40. These Levites, these priests, would automatically know the scripture that he's quoting. They would have a lot of the scripture memorized, and so they would know exactly what John is referring to in this. The prophet Isaiah said that the Messiah was coming and that there would be a voice, someone before him saying, make straight the way of the Lord, preparing the way for Jesus to come, the Messiah. And John says, I am just a voice. I am not the Messiah. I am not the Christ. I am not Elijah. I'm just a voice in the wilderness telling people to repent. So it brings us to our first point. John is the voice. Matthew 11:10 says, this is he of whom it is written, behold, I send my messenger before your face who will prepare your way before you. So John understands his ministry. He understands who he is. He understands what God has called him to be. He's not called John to be the Messiah, to not be any of those things that the priests were looking for and that the people of Israel were looking for. But John comes saying, I'm not him. I am not Jesus. I'm not the Messiah. I can do nothing apart from God. I am just the one pointing to God. And I appreciate that about John because, you know, John came from a family of Levites and of a priest family. It could have been his birthright to become a priest in the temple, to continue on in the way that his parents, especially his dad, had continued. And God gives him a purpose, gives him a message to go into the wilderness and tell people to prepare for Jesus' coming. And he does that. And so often we can think it's our job to be noticed, it's our job to be seen, it's our job to do things on our own. And John just says, no, I am not the Messiah. I'm not Jesus. I'm the voice. Just look at Jesus. And I appreciate that about him. Continuing on, John 1, 24 through 25 says, now they had been sent by the Pharisees. They asked him, then why are you baptizing if you are neither the Christ nor Elijah nor the prophet? But in those days, baptism was not a largely common thing, especially for the Israelites. The tradition of baptism at that time was for Gentiles, non-Jews, if they wanted to become under the house of Israel and become like a Jew, they would have to go through a ritual of cleansing and being circumcised and doing all these things to show that they were no longer going to be a non-Jew and that they would want to become like a Jew. And so they would go and baptize. But the thing is that John is going to the people of Israel and saying, come be baptized. And so the Pharisees are wondering, why are you baptizing? If you're not Jesus, how can you do all of these things? If you're not the Messiah, how can you do all of these things? And John answered them, I baptize with water, but among you stands one you do not know, even he who comes after me, the straps of whose sandal I am not worthy to untie. Again, John's response of when they ask him, who are you? He says, I'm just here giving my message. But there's one who's coming after me. There's the Messiah who is coming, who is so great that I can't even untie his sandals. In those days, there was, you know, people had their servants, they had slaves, and it was the lowest of lowest slaves whose job it was to take off their master's sandals and wash their feet. And John is saying here, I am so unworthy, I am so below even the lowest slave that I am not worthy to untie the Messiah's sandals. What a statement that is, saying, I am nothing. Even though John was drawing this crowd to him, he was drawing people, they were coming in flocks to him. He says, I am nothing. I'm just a voice. I am just pointing to Jesus. I'm pointing to the coming Messiah. And that's such a great position to be in as a messenger of Jesus, as those of us who know Jesus, as we want to proclaim the gospel, as we want to tell people about Jesus. It's nothing of our own. It's nothing of ourselves. We have nothing to bring to the table. We're unworthy to even untie his sandals. That's such a great position. John 1:28 says, these things took place in Bethany across the Jordan where John was baptizing. Just a little side note. This is cool to me as I was studying this. It's believed, many scholars and theologians believe, that where John was baptizing at this time and where Jesus was most likely baptized by John the Baptist is the exact same place where Joshua led the Israelites across the Jordan River into the Promised Land. And I just thought that was so cool that God does those little things. Throughout the Bible, we can see continuity where God's promises are, they come true almost in the exact same place where the Israelites were led into the Promised Land. Jesus starts his ministry in that place and is baptized and starts his ministry of telling people about himself. So just a little side thing. John knows his role. That's our second point. Going back to John's position before Jesus, you know, so easily it can be our tendency as human beings, mine at least, to have, to want attention, to want people to notice us, to want people to notice what we're doing, even in the midst of ministry. And John the Baptist, his position is, don't look at me. Look at Jesus. Look at the Messiah who's to come. Even while he was gaining fame, if you will, and recognition. Later in John 3, we're going to see this in a few weeks. John, when somebody asks John about Jesus and says, do you care that your disciples are leaving you and following Jesus? John's response is this in John 3:30. He says, he must increase, but I must decrease. That's such a challenge for me and for maybe all of us that is that your position before Jesus, that he must increase, his ways must increase, his will must increase in your life, and we must decrease. We must become less before God so that his plan can go on in our life. God wants the best for our lives, and his best plan, his best way for us is his way, that his way, his will, his message would increase in our lives, and that our priorities, our agenda would decrease. So I just had a question as I was thinking about this. As we look at who John is, as he's asked, who are you? Are you the Christ? Are you the Messiah? Are you the prophet? Are you Elijah? And John knows his response. He knows who he is. He knows his mission in life. And so I would just ask you, and I've asked myself this as I've been thinking about this, is who are you? Who are you? When somebody asks you, who are you? What answer do you give them? Are you your job or your fame or your money or your role as a father or a husband or any of those things are great, but are you first and foremost a voice pointing people to Jesus? If you know Jesus, that God has called us to that. Jesus has commissioned us to go and to be his voice into this dying world. And so I would ask you, who are you? Do you know, is that your first answer? Is that I am a child of God and I am a discipler. I am a missionary to a world that needs Jesus? Or is it maybe that's farther down on the pecking order, that I am first this or that or whatever it may be that you feel like identifies you? Or is the first thing your response is that I am a voice pointing to Jesus? I think we can learn from John the Baptist in this. I like this quote by Matthew Henry. He says, John was more industrious to do good than to appear great. Those speak best for Christ that say least of themselves, whose own works praise them, not their own lips. I'm so guilty of that, that I want my lips to praise me and for people to know, make sure I let people know who I am. And John just lets his life show who he is, that he points to Jesus. He doesn't talk about himself. He doesn't look for attention for himself. He just wants people to know God and to know his plan. So, John 1:29, continuing on. The next day, he saw Jesus coming toward him. He said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." What a good verse again. I'll read that. That what John says, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." That's John's message. That's his purpose, is to point people to Jesus. Our next point is Jesus is the Lamb. The Lamb will conquer them, for he is the Lord of lords and the King of kings. Jesus is the Lamb of God. Jesus is the one, the Messiah, the prophet, the one that God promised in the Old Testament. Again, when John would have said this, a lot of people believe that this would have taken place after the baptism of Jesus. This is one of the biggest things in, one of the big events in the Gospel of John that's not in there, the actual baptism of Jesus that's in the other three Gospels. So many people believe that this would have taken place, this time that John is saying this, after Jesus had been baptized. John finally understands that Jesus, this person, his relative, is the Messiah, and that he is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. When the Israelites and the Jews around this time would have heard this, they would have right away understood what John was talking about. In the culture of Judaism at that time, in the temple, it was required in the law of Moses that a sacrifice of a lamb would be made each and every day, at morning and at night. The purpose of this sacrifice was to cleanse the people of Israel and the priests of their sin. The blood, the shedding of blood, was what it took to absolve sin and to atone for sin. And this is the purpose of Jesus coming to the earth. This is the message that all of us need to know, that Jesus is the Lamb of God. Jesus is the one that takes away our sin. You and I have been dead in our sin in and of ourselves, in our flesh. As human beings, we sin, we do wrong things, we lie, we steal, we cheat. And the Bible says that the wage of our sin, what our sin deserves and earns, is death. It's not only physical death, that you and I will die. God did not, his purpose was not for man to die. He created Adam and Eve in the garden to not die, but they rebelled against God. They sinned against God, and sin and death entered into the world. So you and I are going to physically die, and it also separated us spiritually. The Bible says that God is perfect, that he is holy, that he cannot tolerate wrong, and that he cannot look on sin. So he has to separate himself from sin. So we are spiritually dead as human beings. We cannot spiritually have a relationship with a holy, perfect God. And the Bible says that when we die a physical death and we're spiritually dead, we will have eternal death in hell. But God did not want that. He did not want us to be eternally separated from himself for all of eternity. So God sent his only son. Jesus came to this earth, like Brent mentioned earlier, he lived a perfect life. He died on the cross for our sins. He took away our sins. And just like in the Old Testament, in the temple, a perfect lamb had to be sacrificed. The blood of a lamb had to be shed to atone for sin. Jesus came as the perfect lamb, and he sacrificed himself. He gave himself up on the cross and shed his blood so that you and I could be washed in that blood. Our sin could be atoned for. So, as John says this, Jesus, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. The Israelites right away would have understood what the purpose of a lamb was and what that meant to them. And so from that point, they could choose to believe in that this Jesus, this man, was the Messiah who was to die for their sins and take away their sins. And that Jesus, as we place our faith in Jesus, as we trust in that perfect lamb, that perfect sacrifice, that our sins are taken away for. And daily, constantly, all the time, as God looks at us, this sinful human being that he cannot have a relationship with, he would look at, if we've placed our trust in Jesus, he would see the blood of the Lamb on us, that we are washed in the blood, and that we could have a relationship with God the Father because of this perfect Lamb. Such good truth. Have you trusted in that? Have you believed in that? Have you understood that Jesus is the Lamb of God? There is nothing that we have to add to Jesus. His sacrifice is perfect. It's enough. His atonement is perfect, and it was done on the cross. And all we have to do is believe in that. We have to accept that. We have to understand that Jesus is the only way to have our sins paid for. I like this verse, 1 Peter 1:18. Knowing that you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your fathers, not with perishable things such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot. That is our truth. That is our hope. That is my hope. That Jesus, his sacrifice was everything, and that I have been ransomed from death, from the things of this world that I was born into. We were born into death. We can do nothing to separate ourselves from sin on our own. But we were bought with the precious blood of Christ because he was the perfect sacrifice to take away our sins. It's not attendance of church. It's not tithing. It's not being a good person. It's not making yourself look good. It is only trusting in the blood of Christ. Have you done that this morning? If you've not, I would encourage you to find out what that means for you. Maybe you've heard things like this. You've grown up, but maybe hearing about Jesus, that he was the one that would bring atonement, or he was God, or whatever it may be. You've heard that Jesus was the Savior, but have you fully placed your trust, your hope, everything you have in the blood of Christ, the Lamb of God? That was what it took in the days of sacrificing the lamb, was that understanding that I have sinned and that the blood of this lamb is what takes away my sin. It's the one that atones for my sin. So that's John's message, is behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Continuing on in John 1, chapter 1, verse 30, it says, this is he of whom I said, after me comes a man who ranks before me, because he was before me. We saw that earlier in the chapter. John said that. I myself did not know him, but for this purpose I came baptizing with water, that he might be revealed to Israel. And John bore witness. I saw the Spirit descend on him. I myself did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, He whom you see, the Spirit descend and remain, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. And I have seen and bore witness that this is the Son of God. You see, John the Baptist, again, we don't see this in the Gospel of John, but we see from the other accounts of the Gospel of Jesus that Jesus went to John the Baptist. He went and was baptized by John the Baptist to begin his ministry of telling people about himself. And when that happens, when we see in the other accounts of the Gospels, is when Jesus came out of the water, it says the heavens opened up and the Spirit descended like a dove onto Jesus. And it says that John and Jesus heard this from heaven, the Father saying, this is my Son, of whom I am well pleased. So we see the Spirit descend and remain on Jesus. John the Baptist saw that, and he understood that now, when he saw that happen, that he understood that this was the Messiah. This was Jesus. This was the Son of God. And again, he says, I did not know him, though I did not know him. Maybe he did know him growing up. Maybe he knew Jesus. And that finally, when he understood, okay, Jesus is the Messiah. This relative of mine, he's the Messiah. He's the promised one. And that's, I can't imagine John not knowing what his ministry was going forward, knowing his ministry was to tell people about the coming Messiah, and then finally to get to witness the Spirit descend on Jesus and understand, oh my goodness, you are the Messiah. You are the one. How amazing would that be for John? It says, and I have seen and bore witness that this is the Son of God. Our final point this morning is Jesus is the Son of God. We've read this each week, and this is kind of the whole point of the book of John, the Gospel of John. John chapter 20, verse 31. But these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. That is the purpose of this whole book. That's what we're going to see week after week after week, that Jesus is the Son of God. And what that means is that Jesus is God. He is not only the Son of God, he is God. From what we understand in the Bible and what the Bible teaches as we look into it, though we fully cannot understand it, is that God is one God in three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And time again, Jesus, in this book, we will see Jesus comes and he says, I am God. I am the Son of God. I and the Father are one. If you have seen me, you have seen the Father. And a lot of times in this culture today, in this world, especially where we live, Jesus is not portrayed as God. He is not portrayed as equal to God, which is the truth, though, that we see in the Bible. And that is what our whole hope hinges on, is that Jesus is God, that he was powerful enough to give himself up as the perfect sacrifice, Lamb of God, to take away our sins. Only God is the one that can take away sins. And Jesus, we see that as we look into the Gospels. Jesus tells somebody, your sins are forgiven, be healed. And he says, I am the Father are one. It is such a profound truth that we cannot fully understand it. People have studied this their entire life, that Jesus and God are one, that they are one, that they are separate yet one. And it's hard to fully grasp it and to comprehend it, but that is the truth, and that's what we have to understand, is that Jesus is God. It says in Colossians that Jesus is the one that created all things. He is the image of the invisible God. We saw that in John at the very beginning of the book of John, John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus is God. And we have to understand that. We have to believe that. We have to put our trust in that God, in Jesus. Dostoevsky, the great author, he has this quote. I like it. The most pressing question on the problem of faith is whether a man, as a civilized being, can believe in the divinity of the Son of God, Jesus Christ, for therein rests the whole of our faith. If we don't truly understand that Jesus is God, then we're not placing our faith fully in Jesus. Only God can take away sins. Only he is the one that has the power to do that. And Jesus fully, as God, he left his place in heaven. It says that he did not consider his place with God something to be grasped, yet he poured himself out for our sins. He poured himself out for us so that we could trust in him, that we could have relationship in him and come to know Jesus and have eternal life. And that is our hope, that Jesus is God. Do you know God? Do you know Jesus? Do you know that he is the Son of God? For me, personally, looking at the Lamb of God and the Son of God, I grew up in a Christian home, and it took me a while to fully understand how much so that God, Jesus, had died for my sins completely, how he was the Son of God, that he was everything that I needed. I grew up hearing about Jesus and about his sacrifice for me, but yet I didn't fully put my trust in him or fully grasp the weight of what that meant, that Jesus as the Lamb of God, that Jesus as the Son of God took away my sins, and there was nothing there for me to do after that point. So I would just ask, if you don't know Jesus, if you haven't placed your trust in him, would you do that this morning? Would you come to know him? If you have questions, come talk to me after. I would love to answer any questions you might have, because Jesus did come. That was John's message. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the earth. And he did proclaim that Jesus is the Son of God. The Spirit descended on Jesus. And we have to come to a place where we either accept that or we reject that. We can't look at Jesus and think he is just a good teacher or just a good prophet or just some good guy. We have to come to understand that Jesus was fully God, because Jesus said he was fully God. So we have to come to that place at some point in our life where we either choose to believe that and put our trust in him, or we reject it. Because if we just think he is just some good teacher or just some guy, we're missing it. We're missing it. So this verse in Colossians, we'll end with this. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption and the forgiveness of sins. The very next verse, again in Colossians, says, he is the image of the invisible God. Jesus is God. We have to come to that point where we understand that, and that's the whole point of John. That's the whole reason we're looking at the book of John, is we want you to know Jesus, know him, know God. That was the purpose of John. That's my whole message today, is look at Jesus, look to him, read your Bible, be praying, be asking for God to reveal himself to you, and he will lead you, he will guide you. God loves you. God wants us to know him more intimately. And I would just, again, I would ask, if you don't know Jesus, if you don't have a relationship with him, come and find out what that means. Go to the Connections booth, come talk to me. We would love to have that conversation and just answer any questions you may have. We're going to continue on next week in our study of John, when Brent's going to lead us through the next chunk of verses. And I would encourage you, as you're going through your week, read these verses that we're going to be studying. Do your own studying. Be looking into it yourself, so that God might, when you come and you hear, that God might reveal something to you, not just through a teaching, but in your own life. God can speak to you in a personal way. So just to kind of recap, I would challenge you, if you know Jesus, those of us that do know Jesus, let's have the heart of John the Baptist. Let's look at what he did, though he had a crowd, a following, though he had these things of becoming a priest. He could have been a priest. He could have been something in that culture that day of having status and having fame and having things for him. It was his mission and his heart to say, don't look at me. I'm just a voice. Look at Jesus. May we have that heart. May we come to fully understand what it means that Jesus is the Lamb of God. He's the Son of God. He's the one that takes away our sins. And as we leave, that's our message. That is our purpose. That's what we do as we say, look at Jesus. Look at the Lamb. Look at the Son of God. So I'm just going to pray, and then we'll worship a little more. God, I thank you for this morning, God. Thank you that, Jesus, you are the Lamb of God. You are the Son of God. You are the one who has taken away our sin. You are the one that has done everything, Jesus. Thank you for John the Baptist and his example of humility and of wanting to point to you, Jesus. May we be more like him. May we have that heart of pointing people to Jesus as not looking to ourselves, not looking for our own fame or our own recognition, Jesus, but pointing people to you. God, I pray for anyone here who does not know you, that does not understand what that means, that you are the Lamb of God, that you have taken away the sin of the world, that you have offered the free gift of life to them. Pray that they would come to know you this morning, God. I pray for anybody who might not fully understand, Jesus, that you are God, that you would reveal yourself to them, that you would help them to understand what that means, Jesus, that you are the Son of God, that you are everything. You've done it all, God. We love you. Thank you for this morning. Thank you for the book of John, that we can look at it and hear from you, God. Pray you make us more like yourself. And would you just lead us, God? Pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen.